AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I got my guy here, Ty, the pod guy. He's in the building. We're going to chop it up about gambling in the NBA. So we'll touch on that a little bit. Also, Paul Pierce, he goes on Club Shay Shay. You know, he says outrageous stuff, so we'll talk about that. And Stephen A. making the rounds. He was on the Pivot, and then he went on 7 p.m. in Brooklyn. So we'll talk about that as well. And any other stuff we'll try and squeeze in. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, the NBA season has just gotten underway. I was telling Ty, it's too early to make proclamations. I'm not doing like inside the NBA. I'm going to wait. I wait at least 10 games before I can make any judgments. So
I hear that. So
that's what I usually do. But in the building, Ty, the pod guy.
You.
How are you doing, my brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, good. Just excited about the season ahead, especially for my Knicks.
Although they lost Miami, I'm excited for your Knicks now. The East is stacked, but I feel like towards the end of the season, I think y'all just might shock the world. I will say that y'all just might shock the world towards the end, because I feel like a lot of players are getting injured nowadays. Early, you understand what I'm saying, and I mean that on the basketball and football side of things. So it's just like it's a lot of players just getting injured really, really quick, especially when it comes to from kind of like the leg, thigh on down, you know, especially when it comes to the ankle. So I think, you know, with your new coach and Mike Brown, I believe Mike Brown, right?
Yeah,
Mike Brown with your new coach, I think that's going to be a great addition. I think the players are going to love him, and I think the Knicks are going to rock. I think they're going to shock the world this year.
From your lips to God's ears. So look forward to
on the show, man. I love being a regular on All Things Basketball with G, man. I love the show, man. I love watching, love being on here. So, again, thank you for having me on the show, man.
I appreciate you, brother. You know that. So, without any further delay, let's get into it. Top story, of course, it's the story that's rattling the NBA right now. Not even 2 days into the season, and you get this bombshell. The gambling scandal. It actually involves 30 people, but of course, you know, they shine a light on the big names, right? And that being NBA current or former players. So it's Chauncey Billups, who just last year went into the Hall of Fame, by the way.
Yep.
Damon Jones. I didn't know he was like a special assistant for like the Lakers and other places.
Oh, wow.
So, him and then Terry Rozier. Now, remember, the NBA had a probe on Rozier, I believe, last year. Yep. And they cleared him of anything. So, so this is the FBI circling back, and I guess they got enough to say that no good for him. So, but it's two indictments. The one is the sports betting scheme, which involves Damon Jones and Terry Rozier, because people were betting the under on Terry Rozier, and supposedly Damon Jones was getting inside inside info from supposedly LeBron, for crying out loud. So, so there's that. And then the second one, which I thought was the more crazier one, the rigged poker games, where you had these special contact lenses that could see through the cards and and manipulated shuffling machines and x-ray tables. I was like, wow, this is like an elaborate operation here. So, and the funny thing is, Chauncey's on this one and Damon Jones. So he's on both indictments, Damon Jones. So with that said, give me your thoughts on it.
I've been keeping an ear to that. I've been hearing a lot of been hearing and reading a lot of about it, trying to just do my own knowledge about it. My opinion on it is, Terry Rozier just, I think at this point, just needs to leave the NBA. And for the NBA, first of all, to say we've done an investigation, we didn't find anything. And then for the FBI to literally double back in the same year, you have to go. At this point, for Terry, he got to go. Because now the NBA did what they did and possibly, allegedly, maybe let you slide. This is now the Federal Bureau of Investigation. This is the FBI coming at the NBA. So, well, yeah, the NBA and you and Chauncey and Damon Jones to a degree. Terry Rozier got to go, G. He got to get about the league. Damon Jones, the fact that he's on both indictments does not look good at all as well. I think the biggest one for me was Chauncey. I was like, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I said, wait, what?
So, and the way it worked, I think, he was the draw for, you know, potential players to come in. Oh, you're playing poker with Chauncey Billups, so that's the draw. So right. Supposedly.
And that's what you hear. And I'm like, but I'm just like, okay. We know that, and this is, I think this is what happens when we sometimes approve things a little bit too fast. I think when the government and when sports period started, kind of approved all of this gambling, it can happen. Basically, in these major cities, a lot of now cities are doing it and accepting it. It gets muffled. It gets muddy. And gambling has always been like that, right? Now we've kind of put it as it's legal now to a degree. We got legal betting. We got ESPN bet. You got DraftKings. You got this. You got poker. I think for me, G, poker has been played for so long. Right? Poker has been played for so long. So that, I think that one, in a sense, for me, is the one that kind of raised my eyebrow. Like, and you saying they possibly allegedly had x-ray tables and see-through contact lenses. I'm like, well, damn, that's some high octane technology.
Right. And supposedly too, you know, it's the mafia involved. So
And you know what? And listening to the Joe Budden podcast on their Patreon, they were reading one of the co-hosts was reading along with Chauncey Damon and Terry Rozier.
Yeah.
From each indictment, I think there were 12 from the first one. I believe you read off, there were 12 mafia members. that were indicted as well for that lawsuit. Yeah. The one that Damon Jones and Chauncey's on, the one that Damon Jones and Terry Rozier is on. I think there was six. So
you're right. The way it breaks down is six on the sports betting, and then there's 24 on the poker game indictment. Yeah,
I think to close my thought. I think at the end of the day, I think this is. I don't know how Adam Silver is going to handle this as a commissioner. Again, we just get into a point where we're allowing legal sports betting, G. And you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
we're now getting here. You understand what I'm saying? Major cities damn near across the country are allowing it, doing it. So this is going to be a major... I'm going to be looking at Adam Silver from here on out and to see what he does and how he handles the situation, because this is huge. Right.
Yeah.
And we've seen it for like the past kind of last year when it comes to the NBA and the NFL and a lot more leagues who are and players who, and I don't get this sometimes, G, and maybe you can help me out with this. And I guess is my question.
Mm-hmm.
You have this money, especially now, right? You have all this money, you're making this money, but you're still betting when your contract says you should not be betting. Because I believe players, if you're making a certain level of money, especially if you're in the NBA, no, you should not be betting like that. You understand what I'm saying? Me and you should be doing that. Like the people who actually go to the stadiums and watch the games and everything like that. We, the fans, should be betting. Not y'all, the players that are making millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars every freaking month or thousands of dollars every freaking month. And then putting your people at risk that can honestly get back to you. And again, that goes back to the whole Terry Rozier thing. So I'm really pinpointing my eye on Adam Silver and how he goes about handling this situation, especially because now you did one with Terry Rozier. You've done a couple last year that you said, no to. I remember the Michael Beasley one, right? Where they got it wrong there. You understand what I'm saying? And now the FBI is now back. I'm not saying Michael Beasley is in this, but it's just a pattern of like, okay, again, have we moved a little bit too fast with allowing gambling legally in sports. So I'll leave
Right. Good thought there. Actually, something you touched on, I was watching Nightcap, and Ocho kind of said something that you said, where your gambling is involving your family now.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in bed with the mafia. So... You gotta be smart.
Yeah. That's scary. Like you said, you gotta be smart. Like if you and I hate to say it like this, G. Like if you're gonna do it, you gotta make sure your T's is crossing, your I's is dotted.
It's gotta be something where it doesn't come back to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But thoughts. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. My thoughts are, and I saw inside the NBA where Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley was going back and forth about it, where Kenny Smith was saying that it's probably an addiction for some of those guys. Sure. And then Barkley said, no, that's just them being stupid. He said, and then Kenny said, addiction make you do stupid things. And he has a point there. I mean,
he does.
Yeah. I mean, whether it be gambling, whether it be drugs, what you do to get drugs, whether it be alcohol, whether it be sex addiction for crying out loud, whatever it takes to fill that need you're going to do. Anything in excess is not good. Like the whole thing, too, you're smashing Barkley's shoes because he likes to gamble. Mm-hmm. So there you go with that. But it's not a good look. I think, yeah, the bullseye is on Adam Silver as far as I know. Now they're bringing him in and they're going to, I guess, make him privy to what's going on or what have you. So he's going to see Congress, I guess. I even know Congress is back in session, but that's a story for another day. But anyway, yeah. So, yeah, what Adam does with these guys, and mind you, they're on leave now, paid leave. And that led Sophie Cunningham, of all people, questioning that. I'm like, you got your own problems in the WNBA. Y'all got a lockout that might be coming, so you need to worry about
that. That might be coming soon, yep.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello.
But I digress. Yep. So I'll be waiting to see what Adam Silver does as far as with these guys. I agree. Terry Rozier, he's burned his bridges just like they did with Michael Porter's brother. He's out.
Yeah, he got his out.
Yeah, so, and I was listening to, I think it was Outside the Lines, and they had Sam Mitchell on there, and he made kind of a good point. It's like, it's silly to have like two-way players and guys at the end of a bench where you can make prop bets on them. Yep. It doesn't make sense.
No.
So, I mean, if you want to do prop bets on, do it on the players you know that's going to play.
Exactly.
Right. Because all these people who gamble, they're going to take the unders for those guys and try and make money off of that. So
exactly.
So that was an interesting point he made. But, yeah, so I'm at this point. Let's see where all of this takes us. It's kind of early still. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look good. So we'll see what happens. So I'm just in a wait-and-see pattern, but not a good look.
And not a good look at all.
Not a good look, so we'll see what happens. All right, so we'll table that and leave that for now. Let us continue. Paul Pierce went on Club Shay Shay. The truth. Yeah,
truth.
He went on there. You know, he talked to him for over 3 hours.
Yeah, like 3 hours Pierce. 20 minutes. Respectfully, I was not watching that whole episode. Definitely just got into the clips. Thank God, yeah. Thank God he got somebody in the producer being that just be putting out these clips.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a long listen. I mean, I learned some things about him in listening to it. But a few of the things that stood out for me was him talking about him being the I know you're going to get a kick out of this. He called himself the best pure scorer in NBA history if you take out athleticism. So I said the same thing.
My girl said, what?
So he's basically saying over Michael Jordan, over Kobe Bryant, who he said was a close second, over KD, over James Harden, who he said James Harden's only layups and threes.
Yes.
There's no mid-range.
He said this. Viewing audience and listening audience, he said this.
Oh, my gosh.
He said this verbatim. You can go on YouTube and go check it out right now.
over George Gervin. I could go on.
KD, all of the purest scores that we know in the NBA. Okay.
Yeah. So give me your quick thoughts on that.
Man, when he said I said, boy, the truth gonna tell his truth. I swear he gonna tell
his truth.
He gonna tell his truth. Listen, Paul Pierce, when I was watching Paul Pierce was a dog. Period. Period, point blank. He was a dog, okay? Paul Pierce was not, and he and Shannon even said this, and he agreed, he wasn't the most athletic. When we're talking about pure scorer, you cannot, respectfully, Paul Pierce, leave out the athleticism part of it. Okay? Respectfully. When he said that, I said, you, okay. And then he tried to explain it. And then when he tried to explain it, I said, oh, man, I'm sitting there in my kitchen, and I'm sitting there like, what is this man saying? Like, yes, you were a scorer. Like,
yeah.
I would say you were one of the best scorers of your era, period.
Yeah.
Would I say you're the purest scorer in NBA history? Hell no, respectfully. I say that respectfully. But to say, it was just like to say I'm the best pure scorer in NBA history. I can't even say it. In NBA history with no athleticism. Oh, and then tried to break it down and it still didn't make sense. I said, all right, truth, you got it. You got it. You got it, big dog. You know what? When truth get to talk and shout out to Shannon Sharp, man, because boy, when Shannon Sharp gets some liquor in somebody, I swear he get him talking. I swear he get them talking. People that they haven't learned, huh, G?
No.
Learned, boy.
That couch is like
that couch is lethal. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that couch man.
And that what's his that liquor? That boy, whatever that shit is you put in that, man, I'm telling you, they get to talking. And I'm like, Paul Pierce, I got love for you always. Celtic legend, period.
Yeah.
Champion, always. One of the best to ever do it, always. LA legend, period.
Yeah.
But when we talking about best pure scorers, I'm thinking KD, I'm thinking Kobe, I'm thinking MJ. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. Hell, I'm thinking Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Who is regarded as the best shooter God has ever brought us.
I ain't even bringing up Steph.
So you better than Steph? And he did say, I'll be Steph. No,
he beat Steph. He was a rookie. In his rookie year.
But you know what, G, real talk. I was if I beat Steph in a 3-point contest in his rookie year, and he becomes what he became.
Yeah.
I'm saying the same shit.
I beat Steph,
but it was his rookie year, so. It's Steph Curry. Is he not who he not? No, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm breaking too. But you know, listen, Paul Pierce is always hilarious. I just think he took it overboard when it came to that comment. And it was just like, again, G, even when he explained it, it didn't make sense. But shout out to Paul Pierce, man. I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
You got to count the athleticism in there, bro.
You have to. How can you not? You're not talking about the 60s where they were playing below the rim, except if you were like Wilt Chamberlain or Bill Russell.
And even if they was moving like sticks and androids back then, they still had a little athleticism to them.
Right.
the purest scores when we talk about Elgin Baylor and all of them.
Elgin Baylor, he was a high riser, yeah.
Come on, like mm-hmm. when we talk about Jerry West and all of them guys back in the day, like they were doing this still. You know what I'm saying? When we talk about Dodgers, yeah. Come on, Paul. Like, I love you, dog. But pure score with no athleticism, you know what? And then, when he said that, I thought about it. I was like, you know what? Who are some pure, the purest scorers with no athleticism? Would that be Jokic? Because he is slow mo Joe.
Yeah. But you would never hear the Joker say he's the best pure scorer ever. Come on.
Joker will never say that. Nobody in their right mind. Sometimes I'll be like, KG, you got to just smack him upside the head sometimes, big dog. You know what I'm saying? Just, What are you saying? Oh, man. He's funny,
Did he ever say that in front of KG? I hope he didn't.
I hope he... you know what? As honest as Paul Pierce is, I wouldn't hold it past him, G. And KG look at him like, what you talking about, Lord? What you talking about, Lord? He'd be like, what you talking about, Lord? He'd be like, what is Lord talking? I just know KG.
Yeah.
When KG hears something crazy, he's going to be like.
Yeah. He gonna question it.
He gonna be like, I hear you. I'm listening to I'm trying to make sense of it. Like that. So it's just like Paul Pierce be saying stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm better than K. But in that interview too, I wasn't mad that I hope you were gonna bring this up too.
Which
the Ray Allen part.
Yeah. That was the next thing I was going to talk about.
I understand that he was upset with Ray Allen. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. If we lost to LeBron and your happy ass go over there and you beat us and then you win it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna be a little salty too.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I'm not gonna lie, the way he put it made more sense because sometimes when he would say it on like a TV screen, he'd be a little aggressive, mad and shit like that. You understand what I'm saying? So sometimes it'll be like, damn, you just mad. But the way he really articulated it this time on Club Shay Shay, I said, okay, I understand why. Now I get it. Cause honestly. It was kind of Boston versus LeBron, you know, or Paul Pierce and Boston versus LeBron.
Right. Especially in Cleveland and then once he joined forces in Miami. Yeah.
So it's like, you go over there and we still trying to win too. We still think we got the pieces to win. We still moving pieces. We still think we one of the best teams in the East, one of the best teams, period, at that time. And you go over there? You hit the shot of all shots over there?
Yeah.
I would feel a little salty too, especially if you feel as KG and Paul Pierce. That we, with you and Rondo at the time, have a solid core, KP, all of that. Like we have a group that can go against anybody. And you go over there. And he said, like, with no communication, I think now that was the thing that really kind of got me because I'm a communication nerd, G. Like if something happens to you, I would love for you to just come to me and say, hey, I gotta go. We gotta bounce. The fact that you didn't say nothing and, you know, we built this rapport, we built this relationship. I just feel like, you know, I understand Will Paul Pierce, where his feelings came from, and they were valid to me. So
First on the scoring thing, and he is funny because I make jokes about Jennifer Lopez. I say Jennifer Lopez. No one is a bigger fan of Jennifer Lopez than Jennifer Lopez. And I can echo the same thing about Paul Pierce. No one is a bigger fan of Paul Pierce than Paul Pierce. Mm-hmm. He just, oh my gosh.
And he said it too. It's going to be my opinion. You know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, but the scoring thing, come on. He's never won a scoring title. All those guys I named won scoring titles.
Yep, yep.
So what are we even talking about?
Yep, yep.
It's so many scores I can name. Yep. Paul Pierce, you wilding with that. I'm just saying. And he, and for his career, mind you, he messed some of it up by going to other teams where he didn't score that much. He averages under 20 points per game in his career.
Right.
So is that, does that spell the best pure scorer? I'm just saying. So
hell, I put Reggie Miller in that damn list.
Hello? Hello?
You think you all right, let me not get started. I'm okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. So there's that, but you put enough kibosh on it for me, so I'm not even gonna go there anymore. But about the Ray Allen thing, it was the communication lack of, and also he said that during the series when they were playing against Miami,
right,
Ray Allen was house hunting during the series. That's not a good look.
No,
that's not a good look.
No.
And he even said, that's like, you're basically checked out of this series. So,
you know.
So this is one of the few times that me and Paul Pierce will agree with something. That wasn't good. It wasn't good. So, but they made up for it. So, you know, bygones and all those things.
Right.
So, but, those were some of the things that stuck out as far as that goes. And then he talked about Doc Rivers, his game 7 record. He doesn't blame Doc Rivers. He blames the players. And again, I kind of have to agree.
Yeah.
You know, your players have to show up in game 7s. You could be the coach and lay out the game plan, but if they don't execute it, why is it on the coach?
Yep.
So I understand what he's saying. Of course, the L is going to go on Doc Rivers' record. So,
exactly.
So, apart from that, I think it was okay. But again, it was long, and I know he addressed the Draymond comment. Remember, Draymond said, "You can't do no tour like Kobe. They don't love you like that." Supposedly, he didn't hear the comment. He said it was too loud in the arena. So, and I'm like, okay, all right. I'll give you a pass, but everybody knows what was said. So,
right.
Yeah, so, but all in all, it was an interesting interview. Just long.
Just long. Very long.
Too long. But, and I was saying to my boy D, because he was talking about Cedric Maxwell, I said, that's who should come on Club Shay Shay. Cedric Maxwell, I'll watch that. Cedric even if Maxwell. Because that man has stories.
Him and Cedric Maxwell will have a 4-hour conversation.
They would. All the stories Cornbread has.
What? The best shit talker in NBA history?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, arguably one of, if not the best shit talker in NBA history. I mean, what? For me as an NBA player, if I want to get under people's skin, I ain't going to no damn Draymond Green, respectfully. I'm going to Cornbread Maxwell.
Cornbread Man. He was no joke.
The fact that this man won championships off the bench just by getting under people's skin off the bench.
Yeah. He was a scrub. You know he got finals MVP.
Right.
The first championship that Bird won. You he got the MVP.
See what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Him, ML Carr, like.
ML Carr was another one, oh yeah. Oh,
my God. Like, those That's two legendary shit talkers.
I could not stand those guys.
Legendary shit talkers in the NBA. If you want to shit talk for real, watch documentaries featuring Cedric
Celtic Maxwell. Pride. I watched it, actually.
And yeah,
I
Celtic watched, Pride, for sure. Yeah. Watch that. And just watch how calculated they were with the shit talking.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was for me, it was like beauty. Because I'm like, how do you shit talk so well that you get under people's skin to make them lose the game?
Yeah, I think.
Now that's different. I'm done.
Yeah. I think your bad boy Pistons took a few lessons from them.
That's what I'm saying. That's what they knew what to say, how to say it, and they transferred that on the court too. So it was just like, if y'all want to be the bad boys and stuff like that, I would really look at, again, the ML Cars and the Cedric Man. That Cedric Pride documentary was really good.
It was good. So we'll leave that there. So, guys, if you want to watch the Paul Pierce, carve out 3 hours for yourself and enjoy. And then, of course, Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not going to get into the political stuff. I'll leave that to the Roland Martins of the world. I'll leave that to the Clay Kings, the Reese Colberts, my people's there. I'll leave that to them to chew him up on that. But I will talk about the LeBron stuff because it's NBA. So he goes on the Pivot, and it's so much so that Ryan Clark, who was on the show with Channing Crowder, he had to do a follow-up because a lot of people was giving him flack because they didn't push back on him with the political stuff. So,
no, they did not.
Yeah. So, like I said, the political stuff we won't discuss here, but the LeBron stuff is worthy of discussion. So he goes on the Pivot with, like I said, Ryan Clark and Channing Crowder, and then he goes on 7 p.m. in Brooklyn with Carmelo, and now he has like a cavalcade of people that sit in with him. It was Kaz that day. Kazim, he was there with him. So he said, and I'm just going to intertwine the two because he kind of overlapped with both.
Right.
He said, of course, he hates LeBron. He said he hates his mind. And the feeling's probably mutual. So there's that. He said he has no regrets in how he handled the situation. And I'm like, really? And before I even go, let me set up the timeline so we can have a clear picture here. So on January 28th, that's the day that the Lakers, they go to Philly to play the Sixers. That's the day that J.J. Redick calls up Bronny from the G League. And then he brings him in early in the game to cover Tyrese Maxey. And Tyrese Maxey is a beast. So there's that. So what happens? Tyrese Maxey goes crazy. He has 43 points in that game. And Bronny, on the other hand, he has 0 points. He's 0 for 5 from the field, 0 for 3 from three-point range. and he had 3 turnovers in the game. So not a good showing. So the next day, it was talked about on First Take. That's when, of course, Stephen A. Said it's not a good look, how, you know, they should be embarrassed on bringing them in and having them guard Tyrese Maxey. Then later he goes on his show where he can talk longer, and he made an indictment on LeBron's fatherhood, you know, his parenting. And I said it then, I'll say it again. When you call LeBron's parenting into question, you're also calling Savannah's parenting into question, because it's a two-parent household. So there you go there. So we fast forward to March 6th, and that's when my Knicks go to L.A. to play the Lakers. Stephen A. goes to the game. He gets courtside seats because he just signed his contract, $100 million contract. So he's on the sideline. Between the third and fourth quarter, that's when LeBron confronts him. And it's funny, it's only the one camera angle, which he says he think it was a conspiracy, a setup. So there's that. So he gets confronted, and that's that. Then come Monday, well, Sunday, everybody's blowing up his phone because that clip got out of him being confronted. So on Monday, he talks about it, whatnot. Then he goes on to his show to talk about it. Then he goes on Gil's Arena. That's when he was dressed like Nino Brown, talking all that craziness. And then 2 weeks later, that's when LeBron goes on Pat McAfee's show. So all this, I'm laying all this out for a reason. So he says, like I said, he says he has no regrets in how he handled it. I'm of the belief that if he doesn't go on Gil's Arena talking, selling wolf tickets, that's an old phrase from back in the day, LeBron doesn't go on Pat McAfee if he doesn't go on Gil's Arena doing that. That's my opinion. So there's that. He goes on the Pat McAfee show, and then the following day, Stephen A. does the 18 most embarrassing minutes I ever saw on TV, where he lies on LeBron and says all this stuff. He says he wasn't at Kobe's funeral. When he was there, it's just the cameras didn't pointed out, didn't get him on camera. And then he says how he left D-Wade hanging at the Hall of Fame induction that he had. That was the same time that Bronny had the heart ailment, and he was dealing with that. So with all that said, what are your thoughts on all this?
I talked about Stephen A. on my show. Respectfully, in terms of LeBron and how he just cannot keep his name out of his mouth.
Which he claims LeBron, that when LeBron is done playing, he won't utter his name anymore.
Well, that's the funny thing, because I think he will. I think the funny thing is LeBron has really, and this may be a controversial topic or a controversial opinion, but here it is. I believe LeBron has really gotten Stephen A. paid. Stephen A., I'm not going to get it twisted, 25 years in the business as a reporter, journalist, all that good stuff. Like, yes, respect to the craft that you built and everything. But let's talk about, since you've been a sports broadcaster. Mm-hmm. Since you've been on First Take, and since you've been on ESPN, on television, most of your takes have been about one LeBron James. A lot of those takes have not been in the flattering sense. What has made you pop more than anything when you go off about LeBron James? So when I say LeBron James has gotten you paid and got you that $100 million, respectfully, now a lot of that is your talent. A lot of that is who you are, but let's keep it a bean. LeBron James has been the face of the league for 2+ decades. Anybody with eyes and ears and knows the landscape of the NBA and what it looks like can tell you he's definitely helped you make a lot of the money that you're making now. The Stephen A. that's doing all of this right now, G, is not, I guess, the Stephen A. that I liked watching. I don't watch him as much as I do now. I try to get into First Take, you know, for, you know, Mad Dog and Chris Canty and all of those, you know, figures, and Marcus Smart, because I do like ESPN. However, I think Stephen A. has gotten a little bit like too loose at the lip when it comes to LeBron. And if you were to ask me, does LeBron have the wherewithal or the, you know, audacity or however you want to put it to really go up and say, let's go 30 seconds, Stephen A., he has all the right to do so. He has all the right to do so. He has all the right to smack your ass in the damn face. He has all the right to sit here and get somebody to just pop you in the damn mouth. And you stand 10 toes down on it like you right. That's what be killing me, G.
Yeah.
Like, I have no energy for somebody who continue, and like you go on your show, your own show, and still go crazy.
Yeah.
You then go on your own show, Sirius XM again, and still go crazy. I'm like, yo, you just cannot leave this man alone. Like, when he was so, like, I think this is what turned me off from Stephen A., G.
Mm-hmm.
I think in all respect. When this man sat here and crucified LeBron for that second decision Hennessy commercial,
yeah,
I sat there and I said, and this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. The fact that you're talking about, oh, well, the Lakers haven't won and this and that, da, 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 da. What the fuck, excuse my language, what does that have to do with LeBron and Hennessy's collaboration vs. like, what does that have to do with anything? Mm-hmm. As I said in my show, that was PR, marketing, all of that good stuff. He played off of the first decision, and obviously it worked. He played everybody like a damn fool. I said, oh, all of y'all was looking dumb. You can tell it was something not the second decision. And the fact that so many people fell for it like dodos, I was like, and Stephen A. to be the one, to be the leading dodo, to be the leading stupid one. Just going on your platform for minutes and minutes, just talking about, yeah, well, LeBron, I don't think LeBron should did it. Why? Because he's making relationships, because he's getting those relationships, because he's sitting here doing what he does as a brand and to market and to PR. Yes, yes, this is what you do when you have a collaboration with Hennessy or anybody else. So Stephen A., you need to relax. I don't know what's in your $100 million clause, because I can see you on an apology tour too. Like, brother, I'm getting real tired of you, respectfully. And it's just like you talking out the side of your neck about shit that you really don't know too much about. And that's that part, G, is where I turned him off. For real, for real. Yeah. Like, I don't watch the Stephen A. Smith show no more on YouTube. Or shit. I don't watch that. I watch clips of First Take. I don't watch First Take no more like that. Like, I really don't want to hear him when it comes to things that are about the world, because you not doing your research because you're the $100 million man. You not trying to do your research, big dog. And you think the LeBron topic is going to just continue to get you more money, more content, more clicks, more views, because again, we in a content space. Everybody's in the content space now.
Yep.
Everybody. So what do you need? Clickbait. Even if you don't want to admit it, even if you sit here and crucify it like a lot of you do, including Stephen A, you need the clickbait. So you're going to sit here and talk about the one thing you know that you know what to talk about, and that's made you money. LeBron James. And I'll leave it there.
Yep. You said a mouthful there, bro. I'm of the camp where, like you, watched Stephen A. Smith on the come up, you know, when he first got on First Take, when he had his radio show, when he had his talk show. My boy D can tell you, we went to his talk show down there on 33rd Street, 7th Avenue, right there, right down the block from Macy's and all those places. We went there to his talk show and stuff like that. So I've been following it. I can say to you, the Stephen A. that I went to see around that time at his show, it's not the Stephen A. you see today. Not by a long shot. Not to say people can't grow and progress, but absolutely. He's taken a, like in wrestling, the heel turn, and he has become someone I don't recognize, to be honest with you. The whole LeBron stuff. Okay. And I think I know the genesis of it. And I think it was right around the time the decision, which he wasn't thrilled with because he was hoping he'd come to the Knicks and he didn't do that. So I think right around that time, and then that first series that they had against Dallas in the finals where he didn't show up, I think was hit. Well, you know, Skip he's was talking bad about LeBron anyhow.
Always LeBron.
So Steven kind of saw that their numbers were jumping up because of that. So with him not having Skip around, somebody has to be the adversary talking about LeBron. And I think he's taking up that mantle. So I think that's where the schism in their relationship has begun. To me, I could be wrong on this.
No, I think you're totally spot on.
Yeah.
Because it's just been like constant. You just cannot keep his name out of your mouth for real. And even now today when this man is damn near in his 23rd season. Like, he's in his 23rd season. The man is out with sciatica, bro. What are you mad at?
Yeah.
While you sitting here talking so much shit, you should be appreciating the value that is LeBron James and what he's brought to the NBA for so long.
Yeah.
To the game of basketball. But, like, no, you want to sit here and bitch moan and complain.
Yeah, but I think the confrontation, number one, I think that's what's getting under his skin, and the fact that he went on the Pat McAfee show. But again, I keep saying Stephen A. He would never have done that if you didn't go on Gil's Arena trying to punk him.
Yes, you went in that bitch all black. Yes.
What you expect him to do?
I seen that thing, and I seen when Pat McAfee put that up. I said, "Oh, that was a laser shot right at you because of that."
Come on. You can't be that naive not to see that. That's why he went on that show. So for you to be all in your feelings about that, and you know, Bella was listening to him talking, like, and Bella's like, yeah, like not really reacting to, like,
I mean, like, gee, you know what this goes back to right now, especially what he's doing and how he's acting right now. You know what this goes back to? Is a comment that Michelle Obama said about him. And everybody knows the comment because he literally talked about it on his show.
Yeah.
Okay. And Michelle Obama sat here and said, Stephen A. acts like one of the housewives. You're proving her point.
Each and every time.
And the fact that it's not comprehending in your head, or it's just like going over your head, is baffling to me.
Right.
It really is, because I'm like, you really are. You have the attitude of a housewife, respectfully to all the housewives. But I'm like, you yelling, you screaming, you think that loud is right, and it's not.
Yeah.
Loud has got you paid, but loud is not right all the time, Stephen A.
Yeah, yeah. And I think his ego is so out of control right now. Molly went to stepping.
Man, I said rest in peace to Molly on First Take, man. I was like, oh.
Yeah, sick. But, you know, even she said, look, you know, pay me what's right. You know, you're giving him all this. Pay me what's right.
Or I'm out.
Deuces.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, so
I'm not dealing with this.
Right. Yeah, so. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot more I can chew upon, but the whole. And then now, this is the last thing I'll add, and then we'll be done. Now he wants to jump on the Dallas bandwagon, saying that, oh, they could possibly win a championship. Now, you know what's behind all that, right?
No.
Well, let me lay it out for you. So let's say Dallas does win it all by some miracle. He can now say AD left LeBron, went to go team up with Kyrie and won a championship, and you got Luka over there and you guys didn't win anything. So that's just,
you know. Who I thought you was talking about at first? Because I thought you was talking about the damn Dallas Cowboys, because you know he hate them damn Cowboys.
Oh, no. The Mavericks.
He's on the Mavericks, man. Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. Like, this, and I think this is what I'm saying, G. Like, LeBron is 40, what? He just turned 40?
No, I thought he's above 40.
40, 41, somewhere up in there, 40, 41. The man has played 23 years in the NBA. The man has two kids, one in the NBA, one in college, beautiful wife, three kids, right?
The daughter and the two sons.
Two sons, right. So three beautiful kids, right? This man ain't saying nothing about you in the 23 years.
Yeah, he's 40. He'll be 50 in the end of December.
So
he'll be 41 in the end of December. Sorry.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
41 ain't said nothing about your hair recede line and having ass. About nothing. Like, you don't hear LeBron coming out and speaking about you because he's not trying to speak about. And this is my problem, especially now where content And I keep saying this because I want to make that apparent that content is everything.
Content is king.
Content is king. Stephen A. knows this. He knows this. He's not dumb. This is where I'm, this is for people who are not dumb, this is where I get frustrated and upset. We are very intelligent individuals. Stephen A., with that big ass ego and that receding hairline, you are a very intelligent human being, Stephen A. You know content is king. You're going to sit here and continuously talk about LeBron because you have nothing else really to talk about. You want to jump on the bandwagon, like G said, on Dallas because you want to see Kyrie and AD win the ship. But hell, if they're healthy, fully, and I do mean fully throughout the whole season, and if they get to the playoffs, through the playoffs, I don't trust in AD's durability. But I'm so tired of Stephen A. and coming at LeBron's head for really, G, no reason. Again, it goes back to him coming at his head for the Hennessy commercial and everything you said before that. It's just right. Like, yo, dude, relax. You have nothing, like your whole year, your whole 2025, as G just ran it the fuck down, has been LeBron James. And LeBron James, really, this year has been quiet, chilling, relaxing. Again, the man has sciatica. He's trying to heal. He's getting older. What are we talking about? Again, and I've said this before, we should be in a season where we appreciate the greatness of him and what he's brought to basketball right now, because we don't know when he's going to leave. And when he leaves, it's going to be a major hole when he leaves.
Yeah.
Whether people want to believe it or not, or if people want to like it or not, it's going to be a major hole when he leaves.
Yeah, so because nobody wants to step into that role.
Exactly. Nobody will step into Anthony Edwards. Not trying to step into. Nobody's trying to step into Jason Tatum.
Even though he's trying to force him.
No, exactly. Something Adam Silver was trying to force them to get up in that road to play. Like, hell no. Hell no. Steph Curry, you know, LeBron, they still got it. No, they're getting older. KD never really wanted to step into that role. So it's like these two are getting older. Once they leave, once LeBron leaves, once Stephen Curry leaves, what happens? And not just what happens to the NBA in particular, but what happens to you, Stephen A.? Have you thought about that? Are you really going to talk about LeBron James after basketball? Content is king now. Remember this. Again, we said this on the show before. Content is everything and is king. So are you going to talk about it? Because LeBron James is still going to be LeBron James after basketball. We've already know that he's putting things in place after basketball, after he stops playing. So we know he's definitely still going to be in the NBA or in the world of basketball in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Are you, and my question, and I'll leave, and I'm done, G, I swear.
Yeah.
My question to Stephen A is, are you really, because I know he said he's not, but are you really going to stop discussing? Because he's made you a lot of money, Mr. One LeBron James. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I echo everything you said. And getting back to the brown liquor stuff, remember, this is Mr. Marketing. He chides the WNBA because of their marketing. Right. Now, LeBron goes and markets himself with Hennessy, and you got a problem with that? You're right. Mr. Marketing. You should be applauding him for doing that.
Exactly.
So the hypocrisy is my problem with him. The hypocrisy.
Big, and I mean, if you look, and I'm so tuned in. If you look at some of the social media ads, he has social media ads running right now with his Sirius XM show.
I hear it all over the place.
Man, come on, man. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I said LeBron got everybody. I said the fact that the Lakers tickets went from $25, G, to $535 should tell you something about one LeBron James.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not for I long. Said he had the world in a turmoil. I said he had the Lakers looking like, oh shit, he had people sweating.
Mm-hmm.
He had people sweating. Oh, so much that it was for a VSOP Hennessy commercial. Now everybody relax.
Yeah, I was like, okay, let me lay in the cut. I'll find out what it is, but I'm not falling all over myself to find out. Yeah. And once I found out it was that, I was like, oh, everybody got fooled. Everybody. Yeah,
I'm like, you can tell by his outfit. I'm like, oh, something's off. Something's off. I said he's playing off of the first decision. I like it, but something's off. And again, to know it was a commercial, haha, got us, cool. That's great. I love that. Great marketing, great PR, great advertising. Love that. Love that. That's how you do it in this age right now. You have to be creative. It has to be a punch. And that's exactly what he did. He got us talking. He got Stephen A. off his square talking about this shit like it was important when low-key it wasn't important to even discuss.
Topic
of conversation, your first topic. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, bro. He just did a fucking commercial. It had nothing to do with basketball. All it did was play off of his first decision, which obviously you're still upset about.
Yeah. 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 That's it in a nutshell. That's it.
I'm done.
All right. Hey, we're going to leave it there. There's enough in here for people to chew on. But Ty, give us all your info. Give us all the deets as far as what you're doing. And then we'll close it.
Oh, man. Well, you just won a Black Podcasting Award for Best Music Podcast for our
Yes, I was there. I was in the building,
yes,
brother.
Yes, thank you. Congratulations. I appreciate you, man. Thank you. Very excited about that. Still on the high about that. So listen, please go check out Epic Echo Productions right now. Epic Echo Pro, the now award-winning production company and network by yours truly. We have R&B and Chill, the award-winning Best Music Podcast right now. We have Who Is Tyronza, which is kind of the personal journal entertainment news podcast. We have our Black Men Win podcast as well. And we have our anime-based podcast, Black Hockey. So again, epicechopro.com. You can check out all our free videos and exclusive content on Patreon right now. And subscribe to my YouTube channel at Tyronza D. Hicks. Appreciate y'all, man.
No doubt. Just send me the info through the inbox, and I'll put it in the show notes.
I got you.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So we're going to cut it off right here. Once again, it's always a pleasure having Ty up in the building. Appreciate you. All right. All Things Basketball GD.com is the website. There you find my clips, my full episodes, my YouTube page, of course, where I got all my clips and episodes there. Also, guys, all podcast platforms, I'm on all of those. Leave 5-star reviews, guys, wherever you see it at. Leave comments on YouTube, what have you. Also, social media, I am on Instagram, TikTok, some Blue Sky, some Facebook, no X, Twitter. I don't deal with that.
right here.
Yeah. And donate, guys. My Cash App is in the scroll, GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude. And my donate button is on my website. I got a donate page, Spotify, Buy Me a Coffee, and PayPal. All right. So with that said, I thank you for listening as always, guys. When I come back to you, 10 games in, I'll give you my analysis and all the things. Oh, yeah. I thank you for listening as always. We'll talk soon. Take care. Good, good.
Nice, G.